Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Fancy a cold lager all the way from the Rocky Mountains? Or an IPA from the sunny shores of California? Or a delicious creamy stout from your local craft breweries? With over 800 beers to choose from, craftbeersdelivered.com is home to the best craft beer from around the globe. We're one of Ireland's largest craft beer delivery services, run by our in-house beer specialists. From your favorite IPAs, stouts, lagers, and more, to some very special limited edition brews, we have a brew for the whole crew. CraftBeersDelivered.com offers quick, hassle-free delivery straight to your door. Order online today at CraftBeersDelivered.com. Always drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Beer Ladies Podcast with your hosts, Lisa, Katie, Christina, and myself, Tandy. You can find us at our website or all over social media. Our website is BeerLadiesPodcast.com. And our social media, Twitter, Instagram, Mastodon, Blue Sky, TikTok, and even Facebook are at Beer Ladies Pod or Beer Ladies Podcast. If you'd like to support the show, you can find our merch store link on any of our social media bios or in the show notes for this episode. And if you'd like to sponsor an episode, do mail us at beerladiespodcast@gmail.com. Now back to the beer. Hello and welcome everybody. Back to the Beer Ladies Podcast. It is Lisa and myself today at the helm, and we have got a very special guest. Her name is Radka. Now, for those in Ireland, you might know Radka because she's all over the beer scene. Not only does she take the most amazing photographs of beer, it makes everybody salivate for all of this beer that she takes photographs of, but she's recently launched a sort of virtual or a beer magazine, a zine, an e-zine. I don't know what the term is. You'll have to teach me. But it's a new publication called Hop Glossy, and it's all focused on Irish beer. So today we're going to talk to Radka, and we're going to hear all about her history in beer in Ireland, and we're going to talk about Hop Glossy and see what see how it's going over there. So welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's so nice to have you all. So let's
thank you very much. Thank you very much for the invitation, and thanks for your kind words.
we're thrilled to have you. Face.
Thank you.
You know, Radka, it's strange because it's like I'm sure that we've met in person, but I can't really quite ever place it or remember, and then I'm embarrassed because I'm like, Tandy, like, stop being such a drunk. But at the same time, I was thinking, like, if we hadn't met yet, how on earth is that even possible?
Right.
Because
there's
all
only
in the
so
same,
many of us. Yeah.
We're all in the same circles. So I'm sure we've met, but I'm not going to embarrass myself and ask silly questions. But you know what we will do is we'll go around and say, what are we drinking today? And guest of honor, Radka, let's start with you. Tell us about your beer tonight.
Perfect. So my choice of beer is Outer Place Brewing. So it's one of the beers that they released just recently. It's Sacred Cycles. So it's IPA. They love hops. I love what they do. I love how they operate with hops. And basically, I tried this beer about a week ago, week and a half ago, when it was just freshly released. I felt it was very intense in flavor. So I decided that I'm going to give it a little bit of time to settle down and expand on the flavors. So that's what I'm drinking. I actually haven't had a sip yet. So I'm just going to try, and hopefully it's going to be more settled. And No, it's nice. It's very, you know, very citrusy, very floral, you know, herbal notes and all that kind of stuff, you know. So it's a very, very nice beer. It's a very nicely balanced.
Delicious. And famously, Outer Place Brewing were you know, the feature of your first hop glossy. So I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
Lisa, what you drinking?
So I was very excited. I was out and about and found Hope's new seasonal, their red ale. And again, I thought it was super appropriate because I know it's a lot in the most recent issue of Hop Glossy, lots of focus on Hope. And I thought, well, I always like to get their seasonal anyway. And so, yes, this is my first time trying it as well. Definitely says it is that kind of deep ruby color. I know it looks a lot darker on the camera, but in the room, it is really that deep ruby. Ooh, definitely has like a lot of, you know, lovely toasty notes. And oh yeah, that's very nice. It's very Moorish. Yeah, it's definitely definitely feels winter warming. So looking forward to that. But yeah, definitely has that red character. Doesn't feel, you know, super heavy. But I also am looking and noticing it is 7%. So gonna be sipping on it, not just knocking it back, especially on a school night. But excited to have this year's seasonal.
Nice. Okay, well, I didn't get anything from Outer Place. I did get something from Hope, but then I realized that Lisa would probably get something from Hope. I think Lisa's the biggest Hope fan in the world. So I went for a different choice. I've gone for Hopefully Shine Bright IPA. Ooh, camera's playing tricksies here with me. But I haven't had this IPA, I think, for a very, very long time. And so I thought I would try it again. And it pours beautifully. Again, camera trickery. Wicklow Wolf glass, wrong glass, doesn't matter. But it's really pretty. It's like a sort of bright yellow. When it poured, it had the most luscious sort of frothy white head. But let's give it a sniff. Oh, it's fresh. It's like very, I get some tropical, a little bit of citrus. Oh, it's smelling delicious. And it is a bit hazy, of course. Oh, that's divine.
Oh, happy very
to
good.
Drink that tonight. Yep. Happy to drink that tonight. So, yep. Thank you, Hopefully. And thank you to all the fun brewers making excellent beer for us to drink. Yay.
Here, here. Yeah. And I think we're so excited, too, that we all love to, you know, sort of stan our local Irish breweries. But, you know, but we're all from other places. Yet here we've all ended up. So maybe that's where we kind of begin. What do you think?
Indeed. Radka, yeah. Tell us about your story before you even arrive in Ireland. Where are you from?
So I'm from Slovakia. And I don't even know how I ended up here. I was studying in Slovakia. And then I decided I'm going to move my studies to Czech Republic because, yay, another country. Still very close, but another country. So I went there. And then I was studying my master's studies there, and I got an opportunity to go and do Erasmus in Ireland. So okay. Usually, like, they let you go for one semester, but because I used to study musicology as a part of my studies, there was not many students, you know, in our class. So I got a chance to go for the full year. So I was like, of course, I'm going to take the opportunity, you know. So, yeah, I kind of came here and I was back in Maynooth. You know, I loved it there. Like, it's such a lovely town. And it was, I just, from the very first day, I felt so welcome and I felt really, really, really happy here. And yeah, so then I kind of started to be thinking that, like, yeah, I kind of like it here. I might look into the options of staying here or, you know, see what the options are. And so with that, I started to be looking for a job where I got a job in a bar. So it was like a freshly new opening bar in Dublin city center. It was Bar Rua. So basically, oh, yes. This was Camden Bar, I think. So they were, yeah, they just, like, the new ownership took over and they were changing into this, like, really cool modern craft beer bar. And I said to myself, yeah, I'm going to try my chances, you know, like, I'd never really worked in a bar before, but I was like, I can learn, you know, I think I'm quite a good learner. So I went there and I didn't really know about the craft beer, you know, like, all when it comes to beer, like, I come from a country where, like, Czech lagers and German lagers and Slovakian lagers are very popular. So, like, this is beer in my head. I didn't think beyond the beers, different flavors or something. Beer is beer. Like, what are you asking? There is a beer. There is a 10 degrees one and 12 degrees one. Like, you know, there was a very basic knowledge. And as well, it was just what we were born and raised on, you know, basically. But when we opened the bar, that bar had 20 different taps, I think, altogether. And it was like all different beers from all around the world. And I was like, oh my God, like, how is that possible? You know, and like you taste the beer and taste so differently. So it kind of got me into thinking like, what, how is this possible? I remember one of my very favorite first beers that I really kind of like, I was hooked up on was Lagunitas, the original American Lagunitas, you know, we had it on tap. We were serving that in pints, you know, it's kind of like a, you know, every day after work, I would treat myself to a beer just to kind of, okay, I'm going to try this just to see what the flavors are and all this kind of stuff. And basically the owners of the bar were connected to the brewery down in Carrick-on-Shannon. So there was Carrick Brewing Company that doesn't exist anymore. But basically because we were kind of connected and like we were pouring their beers, I started to be more curious about like, okay, how do you make this beer? You know, how does it end up here? Because I always think like, you know, when you want to sell something, you kind of have to know about it, you know, relate to it, and you cannot sell it to the customer. So it has a story, you know, like people were asking all these questions like, okay, how do you make this? And like, I don't like not having the answer, you know? So then I kind of started to be more into, okay, I might just go down to the brewery to see like how the beer is made and like how the process works. And I got in contact with Francesco, who used to be a brewer, head brewer there. He was freshly in the country as well. So he came from Italy around that time, you know. So I remember that on my days off, I was going to Carrick-on-Shannon to spend the day in the brewery because I just wanted to learn more. And I felt really, really, really good there, you know, like the people there working there, like it was great fun, you know. And Francesco was always very patient with my questions that I look back at. Like he would be like, I remember the first day when we came there and like we introduced ourselves to each other, you know, and we were like, okay. So he started to be like all nerdy about that, you know. And he started, oh, well, and the gravity, and you take this and you measure. And I was like, no, hang on a second. This pot, what is in there and what do you do with it? You know, so he's like, he didn't realize that I know nothing about the beer, but he was at the same time very patient and he just walked me through the process. And I was just going down there and we were just trying to figure out some crazy stuff. They had a pilot kit there. So we would brew a beer. We would have 3 kegs out of it. We would send it to Byron. And I was trying to sell it to the customers. You know, I was just trying to prove, like even the beer, some of the beers were not great, you know, just really didn't work out, but we were able to sell them because it was something different. We put basil in the beer. Like it was just something. You're Italian, let's put basil in the beer, you know, for the so, you know, it was great times. Like, you know, when I look back at that, it feels like it's a forever ago, but like it's, we're talking 7 years ago now, which is time flies. So I think that's how I got into the beer. I think, yeah, it was kind of a natural evolution through, I got a job and I wanted to be good at my job, you know. So yeah, that would be the side.
Well, nothing wrong with that. And I mean, it's I hadn't heard of Carrick Brewing until I'd actually walked past. I used to work really close to Bar Rua, yeah. And the sign is still there.
Yes.
And I still thought, is there a brewery I don't know about in this country? And then I realized they must have closed down, but clearly ahead of your time putting basil into the beer, you know.
It wasn't understood back then, but like we had fun, you know what I mean?
Yeah, why not?
So
fun.
Just maybe not in a stout, we're just saying, but you know, in a saison or something, lots of options. So
yes, Rip Island's Edge, sorry, but I don't think anyone here is mourning the loss of Island's Edge. I don't think many people on the island of Ireland are mourning the loss of Island's Edge, but yes, basil and beer, it can be done.
not like that. And I guess Francesco's gone to Lochgill now where they're making some lovely beers, so people, you know, move around, and it's still a small scene, so
it's a very small scene. It is, yeah, people don't realize it, but it is, yeah, a lot of people. And as well, like you were saying at the very beginning, that I think we all know of each other, you know, it's like it is a small world here, but that's what makes it really nice, you know, as well, that like we kind of, everyone knows everyone, you know.
Yeah, if you go into the underdog, you will meet someone, you know, it's just, you know, it will happen. You can't just go on
on your own for a, you know, quiet pint. I mean, you could, but that would be weird there. So other places for that. But.
It's the Cheers bar, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's really cool, Radka. And I didn't realize that, you know, you started out in the serving scene, but got straight into brewing and experimenting. And that is, yeah, that's quite a big deep dive. And you hadn't gone into like home brewing along the way. It was straight into commercial. And that must have been a wild ride.
No, I was actually, you see, like I was always fascinated by the process, but at the same time, like whenever I went to the brewery, like people couldn't understand that I go there on my day off, and I enjoy that because it was kind of like you know, I went there to relax. You know, we are in a busy hospitality environment, and like there is always like it's constantly moving, and you just don't stop for the whole day. And then you come to the brewery, and then like you start the mashing, and then now what? Now we wait. Okay, we have a coffee and we wait, you know what I mean? So it's like I'm a person, I have to do something constantly, you know. So I was actually thinking about that, like it would be great. Like at the beginning I was thinking maybe like working in a brewery wouldn't be that bad, you know, it would be interesting, but I know myself that I'd be happy probably for a couple of months, and then I would still be doing something in between. I'd be, you know, in between the kettles, you know, and like just constantly doing something, which is not bad, but at the same time I think it's just a very, very, yeah, I need more. I need to do seven things at the same time, you know. So it's something that I love to explore, but I never kind of felt like it's my calling, you know. Kind of like go with what makes me the happiest, probably. I'm still looking for it. But yeah. No, it is fascinating though. It is a lot of work. There is a lot of science in behind. There is a lot of small things that people don't realize. And basically that's why I'm always trying to kind of like push it, promote it, and like kind of give a shout to all the brewers, because like it seems like, ah, yeah, sure, yeah, you are just drinking the beer, and like, you know, it's so much fun, and like this is your work, and I cannot believe that you are making beer for a living. But it is a lot of work, because by the time the beer gets to your glass as a consumer, like it's a huge journey. You know, so yeah, it needs to be brought to people's attention. A little bit.
And so since you had studied musicology, how on earth, what did you do with that degree in the end? Did you just be like, eh?
No, you see, that just kind of represents me as a person, that I kind of want to do everything. So basically my main studies were media studies. So I was doing journalism, bit of radio, you know, back in Slovakia. Then I went to Czech Republic and I was like, okay, I can do masters in that, but I can add on something. And I used to play accordion for a very long time. So my thinking was like, I always kind of wanted to go back to music at some stage. And like, I was going to like a artist school when I was a kid, you know, like, and I really wanted to approach it when I was younger, but then I kind of gave up because I was like, okay, music, not really, like with the, like playing accordion, that wouldn't be kind of my career, and not in Slovakia or anywhere else. So I had to be more realistic about, okay, what I want to do in the future. So I kind of played and toyed with the idea of, okay, I could maybe teach music, but I'm not a teacher. So I'm glad I didn't make this decision, because actually went and I was approved, you know, to do study, you know, as a future music teacher, but that wouldn't be for me. I don't have the patience to do that. So that's how, like, I just wanted to add that on, because I was always into music and I was like, maybe that now's the time to kind of go back to it a little bit, and more on the science level and stuff like that. But at the same time, I kind of, yeah, no, it didn't really work out. Like, I came here and in Maynooth my focus was on musicology, and it was great. Like, I learned a lot. I had a part of the studies were studies about the Irish music, which is very fascinating, you know what I mean? And it's like, it was great to explore, but I could probably never pursue a career in that. It's something that is just on the side as my passion, as a hobby. But yeah, so that's kind of like, I always put in something in the mix that doesn't make really sense, but I'm trying to just figure it out, you know.
Oh no, I get that. I can talk people's ears off about 18th century broadside ballads, but people don't want that. So I understand. It's just me. But here for it. So I love that sort of nerdy aspect of music, and especially that sort of early popular music. See, I'm already going in that direction, and I can see Tandy being like, oh god, this is happening. But no. Back to the beer. But I have the same thing. I like to do so many different things. So
exactly. But that's
totally relate.
That's the beauty. Like, it's just so fascinating, you know, like you can approach many different fields and, like, you know, be passionate about so many things as long as it makes you happy. Like, you know, so that's the whole point, I think. Yeah.
Well, I'm just putting it out there, but recently I bought a banjo.
Nice.
Right.
And I've been playing my banjo. I'm still learning, but I'm really enjoying it. So I get it. Not this 18th century broadside ballad. I don't know what the hell that is.
Please attend my lecture some evening. No. No, but maybe there's a session in everyone's future, you know, once you're a little more, you know, more polished. So
yeah. Indeed.
Maybe I don't know if that's the push I need to become more polished or to stay not polished. I don't know what
fair,
this is.
Fair.
Okay, so Radka, back to you now. So you'd come to Ireland and you were involved in this beer scene and you were brewing a little bit and you were involved in Carrick and Barrow and it sounds really cool. Where did Radka's beer club come from?
It was just, you see, I was drinking so much beer at some stage and like, you know, I was just fascinated. Every time I go to the shop, there is like so many options and the cans look beautiful. And I always liked photography, you know, I never kind of like had a proper camera or anything, you know, so I just had my little camera that I brought from Slovakia, you know, just photos for mom, I'm alive. And I was just kind of like taking pictures of the beer and like, I don't know, it always fascinated me. I never would call myself a professional. I would never, you know, really look into that on a professional level, but it just, yet another hobby. Like, I like if the beer looks nice on the picture. It makes me happy. It gives me some kind of satisfaction back where I take a picture and it looks good and it makes people thirsty. And that's the whole point, you know. So I just enjoy that. So that's how I set up Radka's Beer Club. I don't even know why. It was just kind of, I think it was just a joke with my boyfriend and with his brother. We used to live together, you know, and we were like, oh yeah, Radka's Beer Club is on again. And you know, that kind of stuff. And, you know, and there was no point, like, or no goal behind it or anything like that. And also, like, the bar I used to work at, Barrua, they used to, like, on the very top, there is a roof, basically, you know, that you can access, actually. So a couple of times I would bring my friends there and, like, you know, I would pick, I don't know, 5 beers. And I was like, okay, now we are going to taste the beers, because a lot of people are trying to tell me, oh, I'm not a beer person and there is no beer in the world that I could drink, you know, and I could... Then I kind of like, it just, I was fascinated by people saying that and claiming that. And then I would pick a person. I was like, okay, you are coming with me. We are going to go on the roof. I'll pick the beers and we are going to do the tasting. And these people ended up like, oh my God, I could actually really drink that, you know, because people's perception on the beer is completely different to what it actually is, you know? So I kind of started to, and even like, you know, every day serving people and people come in and tourists come in and looking for the beers and recommendations, it kind of gave me more of like, it fascinated me that, like, you know, people tell me that what they like and I can give that to them and they're like, oh my God, that's exactly what I wanted. Maybe they were lying half of the time, I don't know. Really good about that, like, you know, I could based on their what they like, I could recommend them something that they actually enjoyed, you know, and they would come back for more advice or something, you know. So that kind of fascinated me, you know. So it was just another fun project, you know. Radka's Beer Club, nothing really, just the pictures of the beer and the beer. I guess, you know,
it looks as if it was a lot of fun while it was happening. and I know what you mean about, you know, taking people through a tasting of different beers, you know, when you're either challenging perceptions or introducing them to something new that they didn't really expect. It's amazing what people actually enjoy. You know, if you just, you either don't tell them the brand or don't tell them the style or what it's supposed to taste like, and just, you know, let them taste it.
Exactly.
And somehow it works. It's just, it's fun.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was just going to say too, it must be so interesting or have been so interesting too when you get, you know, tourists in where, you know, they've had their Guinness already, you know, they're going to do that obviously, but then I find at least people always also want to say, oh, what's local, what else is, you know, and then they want you to recommend something. So you must have had a lot of experience kind of trying to find what they were really looking for and, you know, trying to match the beer with the person or the beer with the country person. And
so on.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly. And it was just so much fun as well. And like, that's why I always wanted to be like more into, okay, you made this beer, tell me how you made it, because people want you to hear the stories, because every beer has a story, people want to hear that, you know what I mean? So I was like, okay, just friend, just tell me, what did you do, or like, how does this, because maybe it doesn't excite them as brewers, because they do that every day, and they just don't consider it fascinating. But like, you know, all of a sudden, you know, if I have this beer, and there is this customer, and he wants to know more about that, so here's the information, you know what I mean? So it was, yeah, I really enjoyed that. It was, it taught me a lot, you know. I learned a lot through what people want, you know, what they expect, what it was great. It was a great experience. I'm very, very happy and very lucky that I ended up in the bar like that, because back then there was not many craft beer places, you know, that would, like, we started off, Barua started off as like completely craft. There was no macro beers, there was all Carrick Brewing Company beers or guest beers, but there was no macro. So it started off as a proper you know, craft beer place. And it looked nice as well, you know. Then they expanded, they got another building as well. It was a great time. It was a great experience to my life. And my English, my English wasn't great when I came here. So my English, yeah, definitely, it definitely helps.
That's so cool. So now tell us, from sort of those years, how did we get to the point now that you decided to start a publication called Hop Blossy? Which is going to, you know, be the basically the Irish magazine of choice, whether it's printed or digital, whether it's monthly or bi-monthly or whenever it settles.
Or whenever, off. Yeah, no pressure.
Or whenever. Like, how did this idea come about?
So because I had the media background, you know, from back from Slovakia, from Czech Republic, you know, whenever I was studying that, actually, funny enough, I said to myself, I will never work in media, because nothing, I just couldn't imagine myself. I'm a person, like, you know, I'm not going to say stuff on purpose to manipulate people's minds or gain attraction or kind of, you know, like, and that's what media nowadays is, you know, when it comes to that, I just don't really agree with that. But learning about that, you know, I did an internship in music magazine, obviously. It's just like part of the 3 month summer that I decided that I want to do something. I want to just see more into the behind the scenes of the, you know, running a magazine. So I went, and it was a rock and metal music magazine, because I was into that back then.
Tandy is so excited, folks at home. Tandy is so excited. I'm so excited.
So I was really, really into that. So I went to Czech Republic basically, and spent 3 months there, four months in Prague, and it was beautiful. I love that city, you know, like, it's just a beautiful city. And basically the editor in chief of the magazine, he was such an honest person, and like, he just said, this is a hobby, like, this is, like, he was running the most popular rock and metal music magazine in Czech Republic and Slovakia, you know. And he was just saying, this is just a side hustle, like, you know, I have a full-time job, and this is just something I do on the side, like. So I'm like, okay, great, so that means you can't really make money if this is just a, you know. So it was just kind of, but it was always in the back of my mind, like, I was always fascinated by the process of the production and all this kind of stuff. And as well, I was saying, like, if I'm going to end up in media, it's going to be something that cannot hurt people, you know, mm-hmm. with its produce. So I really enjoyed my time in the music magazine. So I was like, okay, now I was at the stage where, you see, because I'm kind of a person that I love to do a bit of everything. Okay, so a bit of this, bit of that, bit of photography, bit of that. And I just wanted something that I can put all of it together in one package, and kind of all my passions, you know, to something that I will enjoy and I will enjoy making. And I didn't want to kind of push it into something that is gonna kind of annoy me, that I have to do something. So that's why I'm kind of taking it easy in a way. Whatever I have time for, I will do, and I will always do my best. But at the same time, it's just a hobby. It's just something that is on the side. It's just something that I just kind of felt like needed to fulfill me better, I think, you know. And as I said, like, I always love working with the breweries around, you know, and we are constantly talking, you know, on a daily basis. And they just put so much effort into what we can drink at the end of the day. But sometimes I feel like there is like, because there is not enough resources in the brewery, let's say not everyone has a marketing department, not everyone has the skill to be doing the social media, for example, or something. So the promotion when it comes to small breweries can kind of be not lacking, but not by their own fault, but like it's a lot. If you're trying to run a business as a brewery, you know, there's too many things that you have to focus on, and sometimes you forget to pass the message to the customer. So let's say, as I was saying, you are creating this really exciting beer. It has a story and something really exciting, new concept, new hops or something. But by the time the beer is out there, you forget about all that because you went through the part of, oh, this is really exciting, but it's released and just, you know, there is not enough time, not enough people to be talking about that. And yeah, you do a pose or something, but it kind of gets buried in the whole world of other beers or something, you know. So I just feel like I wanted to create something that every single brewery has a space where they can promote their stuff with my help. Because
you should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow!
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You know, I'm not a professional writer or photographer or anything like that, but I do believe that I can help them at least a little bit, you know, and creating a platform, which is just an extra platform, you know, like you have like macro media, mainstream media that are constantly promoting macro breweries, let's say, you know, there is no space for small breweries, you know, in the world. So why not to create something that will be dedicated for the small breweries with the pure purpose of here's your space. You can promote your beer. We can talk about it. We can shout about it. We can get people excited about it, you know, so the whole point behind that or whole idea behind it just came from that. Because as I said, like I talk to people every day, you know, and I see that there is a struggle sometimes, you know, so maybe something that can help. It's not gonna revolutionize the scene, but at least maybe it's a tiny little small help to kind of push it a little bit better, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. And it reminded me so much the first, I think, issue or two, because I used to write for Philly Beer Scene back in Philadelphia, and they started off just as a kind of e-zine only, and then they had the printed copies that were like very fancy, frankly, and that would turn up, you know, in the different tap rooms and bars and pubs and so on. But, it, you know, it was the same kind of idea of let's really try to, you know, highlight all the local brewers, tell the stories. I mean, exactly that, because people want those narratives, you know, people really want to know, like, why is there this brewery that's kind of in the middle of nowhere? Or what is the story behind this beer? Even if it's just, you know, just let's say a seasonal or whatever, what made them decide to go in this direction or that direction? And, you know, we all like to nerd out about that a bit, but it's great too, versus the person who's just down the pub to know, oh, this is, you know, this, have a two second sort of summary. And, yeah. You know, this gives, like you say, another place to do that. And I think too, the, you know, when I've been looking at the first couple issues, and the format's very similar to the one I used to work on. So I'm like, oh, it just makes me feel good. And it's, again, I really, really like the way it's laid out, and it's beautifully done. And again, folks, it's going to be in the show notes. So go have a look. But, you know, again, I think it's absolutely that, giving people another place to, you know, tell their story, and in a way that's really visually appealing. And hopefully that'll get people to go and, you know, have a look. And especially I used to work on, you know, physical print and digital magazines back in the 1990s. I used to work for Time Out in London, and back when there was still a print issue, which now there's not, but, you know, RIP. But you know, again, that kind of, you know, muscle memory almost kicks in when I'm looking at it, where I'm like, oh, I remember how hard it was to produce some of these things, you know, week in, week out. But again, I think, you know, it's so important to come back to that idea of the narrative and why people are brewing these different beers. Again, whether it's because it's winter and we want this, or there's a new hop, or maybe there's like a sense of place tied up with it, which again, I get nerdy about, but I think there's so many stories we can tell. And it's just kind of, like you say, reminding people they have maybe this extra outlet, so they don't have to spend all this time kind of overthinking it. Let us do that. So,
yeah. And it can get really overwhelming. Like, I know that by myself, you know, like with the new releases, and to stay on top of everything, where's the event, you know, what's happening, what's on, you know, and like people can miss so many great things only because they're just buried in the world of information out there, you know. Like, it's very hard to, even for myself, and like I watch the scene every single day, you know, and like it's just part of my job. So it's like, it's very overwhelming for myself too, you know. So I was like, okay, if it is overwhelming for me, I can imagine how overwhelming it can be for the end customer who doesn't have the insight that I have, for example. So maybe kind of simplify that and put it in the format where you can just literally have your morning coffee and flip through the pages and maybe find out something that you didn't know, you know, and just maybe like whatever, as I said, like, you know, you can open the normal magazine about anything, and every single structure or the topic or kind of like a section can be translated to the beer world, because it's all the same. Like, you know, you're just gonna transfer, okay, new releases, you know, events and beer people, and like it's just, there is a lot to map, a lot to introduce to people. And something that maybe for us, like, you know the breweries, all of you know people behind it, like not everyone knows. And maybe it's kind of also this extra step of, if we want to push the craft beer and bring it up, you know, when it comes, we need to educate people about that. So maybe some random person is going to pick it up because, hey, there's my mate from whatever, from high school that I used to go to school with, and he's now brewing. Look at that, you know, so you never know. So it's just this tiny little bit that I'm trying to do for the scene, just genuinely kind of push the hard work, because I do believe that breweries do deserve that. So, yeah.
I mean, Radka, I think you're doing an amazing amount of work to promote these breweries. And, you know, from what I can tell, you know, I've read both of the issues. And what I really enjoyed myself is looking at new releases. That's great, because I'm never on the ball with that stuff. But looking at events, I've been racking my brain, because I'm trying to plan my life better, because I'm useless at it, and I'd like to at least see 3 months in advance, and I can never quite tell what the hell is happening 3 months in advance. And I feel like there isn't always a good place to be like, oh, okay, during these months there are these things going on. Hop Glossy has been that for me for at least the last 2 months. I'm like, oh, look, Oktoberfest here, and there's this kind of a festival here, and all these things. I think it's really, really useful. And also, I mean, I love what Lisa and yourself have both said, that bringing up the biography and the stories of the brewers here is so important. You know, we're a tiny island with only a few brewers and breweries, you know, not a tiny, tiny number, but, you know, it's still a manageable number. And it's really nice to have a little dedicated space to all the interesting and fun things that are happening within the industry, because it's loads. It's such a busy industry.
It is.
So I think it's fantastic. I mean, you're doing this on your own, are you?
I do have a great help from my brother, who is also into craft beer, you know, so he has been a great help for me. He is doing the reviews for me because I think he gets it better than me. You know, I can be influenced by many factors outside of the beer, which I know it's bad, but it's natural. But I know that he can be more objective when it comes to that. And for the second issue, Lenny, I don't know if you know him. So basically another big promoter of craft beer, he offered me help when it comes to reviewing either pubs or reviewing shops where he shops, you know. So just to keep it more objective, you know, I'm more than happy. I'm always happy when someone offers help, and like a lot of breweries offered help as well, which I'm very, very grateful for. So I do hope to grow it in a way like I can put more people together. Absolutely, I would love to pay them, you know, at the moment. As I said, like, this is just a side project, but I do hope to grow it. So like one day I won't have to write everything myself or like put, but at the moment, yes, major part is done by me. Just a very simple design, very simple kind of, I enjoy many different parts, you know, so I was like, okay, I'll put them together. So I am very much aware it's not perfect and it will never be perfect, you know, but I do my best within my options and knowledge at the moment. There is a lot to improve, and I will be happy to kind of, you know, explore the options, because there is a lot of different ways how it can grow in a way, like it can be a regular, you know, internet version. There will be like a printed monthly, or, you know, like there, I have a lot of plans, a lot on my mind that I would love to do. Just the only problem is time, unfortunately. So the day has 24 hours still, but I'm trying my best. It can be really overwhelming sometimes, and yet, you know, it's not the monthly production as I originally aimed, but yeah, I'll get there one day.
Absolutely. You know, I used to, similar to Lisa, I used to write for South Africa's first and only craft beer magazine called On Tap Magazine. And they started back in 2016. Mm-hmm. And the idea was, you know, quite similar. It's like, let's give the craft beer scene a space to promote itself and you know, let's learn about the new beers. And because the country is a fair amount larger, you know, knowing what's happening in Cape Town when you live in Durban or Johannesburg was a little more difficult. So having a magazine was really useful. And initially it was a printed magazine, and you could find it at places like homebrew stores, as well as certain off licenses and things like that. But the homebrew community was actually the biggest market, which was really interesting. But really similar things. But what I think has been encouraging is that it also did start small. You know, it started with two people, like the editor and the publisher.
Yeah.
And they made that work, and they used to then effectively buy in, although not with money, but, you know, they used to buy in reviews and writing, and, you know, somebody is going on a travel to another country. Great. Go write about that. And it just, you know, it's a community effort. And if you're not paying anything for this digital magazine, why on earth do you, you know, don't worry about it. Let people let people contribute as a community effort. I think it's a great thing. And I'm sure our listeners and everybody in this country are going to swarm you with this help. And then your job is going to be even harder, because then it's going to be facilitation and management. And
well, hopefully. No, as I said, no, I enjoy, you know, I enjoy the process of it, and I enjoy, you know, that it can be something, you know. So no, I do have a hope for it, you know. And but the main goal will always be I want to enjoy it, you know. I don't want, you know, like my friends were saying, oh yeah, just wait until, you know, big brands, macro brands will come and like pay any advertising in there. I was like, yeah, right. No, not about like, you know, that's not the focus, you know. It's not the focus of like, okay, I'll give you space if you give me money. Absolutely not. Like, you know, this is like genuinely for those who don't have the marketing budgets and don't have the budgets like the big companies that can splash the cash on the big advertising campaigns, you know, and like be in the face of everyone. Like, this is literally And I was always saying, like, even if my mom is going to be the only person who's going to be reading that, I'll keep doing that because it makes me happy. You know, it makes me happy that, you know, there's something that I enjoy. I can put my passions in and I don't waste my time. Then, you know, like I make something of my time that I feel then a little bit more useful, you know, if it makes sense.
No, it's wonderful. And I think I was actually surprised, and I wasn't sure if there was something before this that maybe died along the way, but is this the first Irish craft beer magazine or publication or zine or anything? Is this the first one?
I'm not quite sure. I'll be honest with you. I don't know personally. No. I don't remember anything while I was here. Maybe there was something, but I'm not aware at the moment anyway.
I've been here for a shorter time than you have, so I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, well, we'll just put the bus and say John, let us know.
Yeah, John the Donut, what's happening? What was the history of this? No, but it's really exciting. And I mean, you know, as you say, a lot of the times these small breweries who are just getting started or have, you know, been in the works for a year or two, they're just focusing on making beer. And yeah, we all know that sometimes the difference between a brewery that does really well and the one that doesn't isn't the beer or the quality of the beer. It's the marketing and the sales and the distribution and the, you know, all of the other things that go around it. It's one of those like almost urban legend level things now where if you want to open a brewery, forget about making beer, you know, like do all the other things really, really well because that's where it counts. But it's lovely that you're giving people a space to share their story, share their releases, share their events. It's really cool.
Yeah, and I think it's so important too, you know, not just this time of year where we're getting up to the holidays, but I know like a fair few of our smaller brewers have said, you know, things may look good, but guys, this is our crunch time of year. We need to be, you know, shifting units, you know, whether that's merch, whether that's beer, you know, this is the time of year. They need to make sure they have the money to invest for next year to be making great beers. And so I think that's just another, you know, we know the margins are really, really slim for the smaller brewers, but, you know, as good as things may look from the outside, it's, you know, it can be hard to tell. So I think, you know, as much as possible, we want to be highlighting those smaller folks who we all know and love and who are making great stuff, because the big guys have the marketing budgets and have the budgets to kind of, you know, weather a year that's not great or, you know, this and that. So I think it's just another way we want to support them as much as we can. You know, we can't all drink it all for them, you know, as much as we'd like to, but gotta be mindful. So, you know, it's another way we can help out, is to at least like raise the profile and, you know, keep them in front of kind of the, you know, public consciousness, if you like.
Absolutely. Yeah. Every little bit helps, you know, like, you nailed it there. Like, this is the time where all the small breweries need the biggest support, basically, you know, because that kind of determines what's going to happen next year, you know. And we don't want to be seeing like lots of different breweries closing, you know. No. I'd be sad. Like, it's not many of them, so let's just keep the numbers up, you know.
Hang on to the guys, please.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. And look, it's really hard work, so I commend you for putting this together, because this is not an easy job, and the fact that you're doing this just about solo is nuts to me. Like, I think it's crazy and it's awesome, and I congratulate you because it's great.
thank you. Well, I'll do my best in the coming weeks, and hopefully I'll serve you well with my information. No, I was we are always laughing, like I'm always asking everyone any gossips. You know, because I want to kind of, you know, obviously I'm never gonna be, you know, releasing stuff that I shouldn't or anything, right. You know, it's just like one part that, like, you know, every time I'm starting the conversation, well, tell me the gossips now. You know. Spill the tea.
Yeah, come on, spill the beans. Won't be published. Don't worry. Off the record.
Exactly. So maybe I'll plant a seed here, because I know you, again, you've got your day job working in the industry as well. But what should we be on the lookout for when people are buying their advent boxes or things? What do we think may be in some of those? Any ideas on either breweries or styles? You know, again, nothing. You don't have to, you know, say specifically, but just are there things we should watch for?
There is all yes. Now, if I say that this year is the best year, you know, maybe people will think that I'm lying, but I'm not, you know, like, no, we did our best here, you know. So there is going to be, now, forget where I work, you know, there is a huge range of really good calendars out there. So, and every place does their own thing and thing that is very specific to them. And like, you know, that's, it's great to have such a selection. You know, when I speak for ourselves, we do have the options. We always go crazy with the options because that's what we do. You know, you want to make everyone happy. So no, we always like genuinely put inside what we would love to drink as well, you know, that we believe in, you know. So well, hopefully it's going to be enjoyed. I know that there is one on the way too. So
we actually didn't mention, but Radko, your day-to-day job, you work at Craft Central.
I do, yes.
which is absolutely one of the premium places to get craft beer in the country, right? And by the way, I had the advent box from last year. Yes. And I was on the splurge list. I went to like the give me the crazy box, and it was absolutely worth every single cent.
Oh, thank you.
And it was quite pricey, but like it was worth it because I think of the 24 beers, I think I hadn't had 23 of them.
Okay.
Wow. And folks, this is saying something. This is, yeah. You know.
And they were really interesting and like really unusual and from all over the place. So I am the advocate of that, and my order's going in. So don't you worry.
Thank you very much. No, thank you. No, that's what we just created that. I think it was 3 years ago, I think, or this is the third, 4 years ago. No, 3 years ago. Yeah. Yeah. 3 years ago, we just started this. And we were like, okay, what we are good at. And we just wanted something different, you know. So we just have one of these options is the calendar where you can find the beers that were never released in Ireland, as far as we know and what we've seen. And they are not for general release as well. So it's like literally what's in the calendar, that's it, you know, people can buy it normally, you know. So it's very exciting to be putting that together because we just want to make sure that, you know, we're going to surprise people with something, you know, and it's going to be just, you know, not only one style orientated or one country. So we're just trying to put it into a really good mix, you know. And so far, I have to say, we are very thankful for the support and we are very thankful for the response because a lot of people are very complimentary of like after they open all the beers and they're like, oh yeah. And we can see people coming back, which is the biggest thing for us, you know, that seeing that they enjoyed it, they're coming back. And that's what makes us really happy because we're like, okay, next year we'll make it even better. We'll make it even better. So this year is the best so far. But yeah, no, it's very exciting. It is very exciting. Like that time of the year when we are putting them together, it is exciting. So yeah, so hopefully it will be enjoyed as well this year.
here. And like, so there's so many different ones going out there and some have a different focus. Like some are either Irish only or some are, you know, kind of almost the opposite where it's like, you know, weird stuff. And I love that they're all a bit different and you can just kind of choose your own adventure if you like.
Exactly. So. A variety. Yeah, that's what we need. Like, you know, everyone, you know, has different needs, different things that they like, you know, so everyone can find something out there on the scene, whether it is, you know, there or there, you know, like it's not about who is the best or anything like that. It's about we have a variety and we are very lucky that we have this variety around, you know. So that's
it. Important. Is actually amazing. You know, for all of the years that I've lived here, I've gotten advent boxes from different places and of different levels. You know, sometimes it's just been Irish, sometimes it's been, you know, special releases and from different providers, but they're always just so fun and so interesting. And I do love them. But now I wanted to ask you there, Radko, you've been through Hop Glossy, you've got two issues out so far. The idea is what maybe started monthly, it may not be monthly in the end, that's okay. But what have you seen in your research and in your putting together of the magazines? Are there trends that seem to be emerging or things that are coming through seasons? You know, what are you seeing in the industry?
In the industry? There are definitely trends that are set up mostly by what's produced, you know, so breweries are the trendsetters here, you know, so when it comes to this season, like there is a lot of dark beers, there is a lot of barrel aged imperial stouts, you know, that they were aging and sitting for the whole year. So there will be more of that, definitely. Some of them are out already. Lochgale released their barrel aged series. I think Hopfully is going to be releasing one very soon as well, which is not very common for them, actually. So I think it's the first or the second time that they're messing with the barrels here. So really excited to see that. There are trends. Yeah, There are trends when it comes to, you know, like there are some hops that kind of shine, and like, you know, this year, like it's always kind of like a little bit slower to get to Ireland, because by the time that the hops are available to Irish breweries, you know, to purchase, it takes some time. But like, it's very interesting to see, like, for example, there was a big focus on a hop called Peacherine, you know. We had a couple of breweries from America that produced the beer. We actually got them, so we tasted them. Then that was followed by a couple of breweries in the UK who used that hop, and the same with Nectarine hop as well. We actually produced a beer with Hopfully using the Nectarine hop, as like, I think before us only Whiplash used that hop before, you know. So we produced that. So basically, so there's always like this kind of like a hopping, you know, that is coming from different countries, and then it gets to us, you know. When it comes to styles, yeah, so basically seasons, you know, depending on, and the big thing, and I know that you did a podcast about that, I wrote about that in the last issue as well, is non-alcoholic beers, which is great to see. Like, that part of the industry is very important, you know, so it's great to see like more and more releases coming out, you know. Irish Soda Company as well, created by Dead Center Brewing, that's another part. It's still within the scene, you know, but it's something different. Huge focus on the non-alcoholic beers, which is very important for the quality of that, because you know, it's just growing, you know, it's getting better. Breweries are making themselves more familiar with the production process, because it's not as easy as like just making a beer. They have to be more careful. There is more involved, more work involved. And yeah, so it's a new concept that will probably grow, definitely will grow. And yeah, so that's probably around that. It's been a little bit, this year, I have to say, has been a little bit slower when it comes to new releases. So there was not as many as like previous years. Beginning of this year was very slow, you know, so I'll be curious to see what's going to happen next year, with also with the whole deposit scheme kicking in, which is going to be a lot of fun for the distribution as well, so we will see. But yeah,
it was, thank you for the shout out and the hop glossy, by the way, on our episode on non-alcoholic beers and Sober October, because it was, you know, kind of around that same time. And it was really interesting, and I appreciated hearing, you know, Hope's perspective on non-alcoholic beers. And what was nice to hear was just a bit of refreshing honesty, like that they actually didn't want to do it. Yeah. You know, they weren't that keen. And it was a big learning curve. And I like to see that honesty from brewers. It's really cool and refreshing to hear that people are not just equally excited about every single thing that they brew, because that's just not true.
Yeah.
It was lovely to read about that. And as any brewer who might be listening knows, brewing a non-alcoholic beer is hard work, man. And and you know, we always question, like, why do they cost the same, if not more?
Exactly.
It's because there's a whole bunch of either extra steps or extra ingredients that you need to add in. So come on, guys, go read the hop glossy and you'll go and see exactly what's involved there. But yeah, not easy. So Lisa, I don't know if you've got any final questions, but I've got one final question.
Oh no, I'm good. I was so excited about the advent boxes that was my big my big other question. Again, I'm going to be patient. It will appear in due course. So
it will.
I'm all good.
So Radka, what is your favorite beer of the moment?
Oh no.
I know. Okay, you can pick like three. They don't have to be in order. But what have you really enjoyed recently?
I can never answer this question, because I'm actually a person who is always trying different beers. I don't even go back to beers, because it's so many of them that I want to try that I don't have time to. But okay, so what did I, okay, one of my, like, no, I actually feel bad like saying, but okay, I like this one. The Outer Place is really nice. It's the one that I'm drinking right now. No, it's hard. I'll be honest with you, it's hard to say. I have the couple of beers that I enjoy like all year round. Our collaboration with Hopfully, that was my beer in the fridge all the time, but that's purely because I just loved how it turned out. It's gone now, so I don't have anything. No, I'm just joking. But it depends on my mood, probably. I do enjoy a lot of different beers at the same time. It's hard to say. I really can't. I love, let's say, Tundra from Wicklow. That's one of the beers that I can always go back to. It's a tropical IPA. It's just so easy drinking, you know. I love that beer. But it's hard. I don't know. I cannot pick.
It's too many good choices, aren't there?
Yes.
Okay, so since that one was a bit of a washout, if you were a style of a beer, what would you be?
Oh, I would be New England IPA. I know, boring, horrible, yes, I know, but I would be that. Yeah, that's me. I'm a walking New England IPA.
Perfect. Juicy, delicious.
Yeah, hazy.
Love it. Oh, well, that's great. So, Radka, what we are going to do is share all of the links for Hop Glossy and for the Instagram page into our show notes below. But is there anything else that you'd like to shout out? A Twitter or X account or any other website that you want to direct our listeners to?
I actually have a Twitter X whatever account, but I was never good with that. So it exists, but there is nothing on that. So at the moment I operate on Instagram. So you can find me at Hop Glossy. And then there is a website where you can find the issue one or issue two, but you can find it through the Instagram account. There is a link in bio. So yeah, that's it. And if you have any comments, feedback, or any kind of juicy gossips for me, feel free to, whether you are a brewery or a drinker, whoever you are, feel free to get in touch with me on hello@hopglossy.com. And I'll be very happy to chat further with you guys.
Love it. And everybody that wants to contribute to this community effort and take some work and stress off of Radka's hands, you get in touch. We know that this place is full of talent and people who are willing to chip in, even if it's only an hour here or there to something. So yeah, get in touch. I think we all are invested in making something like this work. So come on, guys, let's rally together. But Radka, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an utter delight. And we need to see each other for beer soon.
Absolutely.
I bet we're just going to see each other at Underdog, right?
Yeah.
You know.
Yes. Either way.
Okay. Okay. And then we'll see. We'll see if Radka's drinking a New England IPA.
Good
seeing you. No, it's been great. So thank you so much for coming on. And Lisa Friend, thank you so much for hosting along with
always.
Me. Yeah. And everybody at home, thank you very much for listening. We'll catch you on the socials. Lisa normally manages those. Twitter is your best bet, or X, wherever you want to, whatever you want to call it.
Or blue sky.
Social media. Anyway, so catch us on the socials and follow Radka. We'll have all the details down below, and then we will see you all in the next episode. Bye guys.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.